you know, you need sometimes a guy with a little bit of attitude.
Toucher and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
One radio station. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Well, this afternoon, Patrice Bergeron, the Bruins, Toucher and Rich, and 98.5, The Sports Hub, hosted the Pucks and Paddles Ping Pong Tournament at Royale in Boston. They raised $110,000, all to benefit Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center. Over the years, they've raised over $1 million.
We're really proud of that. You know, it's a big number, and, you know, everyone's working hard, the Boston Bruins Foundation and everyone involved in making this event possible, but also to raise the money. And you're right, you know, to go over $1 million over the past 10 years is pretty amazing.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich.
Real quick, before we talk about Pucks and Pals, just want to say thank you to everyone who's been listening to the show lately, because the final numbers for January come out next week, but these might be the best ratings the show's ever had. So we have been very lucky to have you listening to us. Thank you for doing that. The month of January, it looks like it's going to be number one in all demos. So thank you very much. And we are very proud to have you guys as listeners, so we appreciate it. But last night, we saw many of you guys yesterday out at the new Pucks and Paddles, which is taking the place of Cuts for a Cause. Thank goodness. That was a blast last night. And for years, we'd been doing the head-shaving thing. It started with Aaron Ward and when he played for the Bruins, and then the baton was passed to Sean Thornton, and then Patrice Bergeron. And finally, because it looked like there was a look of fear in most of the players, because they didn't want to get their head shaved, they had to shake things up, and instead they turned it into a ping pong tournament in which people would bid to be a doubles partner with whoever you bid on, whichever player or person from the station. And it was amazing. They set up at the Royale about 8 ping pong tables. Actually, it was 10 ping pong tables that they had set up. And they did it like a NCAA tournament bracket. And you would go up and start it out with all these different groups and end up going down to the final two. David Pastrnak ended up winning the entire thing.
What a change from year to year for Pastrnak, who was petrified last year.
Hated it
last
year.
Looked very relaxed last night.
Yeah.
Well, he was afraid he would be unattractive if he cut his hair.
So, he hated it last year. As a matter of fact, the first line were like the final three guys standing, which was kind of cool. So you had like,
yeah,
you
know, that's right.
It kind of says something. They're obviously good. It's
final three guys and you.
Well, that was
in the final four.
Right.
You had a ringer.
I had a guy with
team.
Me. It was great, though.
Oh,
so
man,
that had nothing to do
great.
With me.
Rich got very competitive.
I did. Once you win that first game, it's on.
Well, like, I wouldn't know anything about that.
No, I lost 11-3.
Fred and I were both out real quick.
You lost to Torrey Krug, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I lost 11-3.
I beat Torrey Krug.
Good for you.
You beat Torrey Krug, or your partner beat Torrey Krug? Your partner was amazing.
Yeah, he was a badass.
It's fun because Krug was like, I want to get. It's funny because Krug was like, I want to get out of here. and then he like won a couple rounds, and then he started getting all into it.
Yeah, he was way into it when I played him.
Yeah,
like I mean, these guys are very competitive. The best was that yesterday we had Bergeron on, and he was talking about how Ryan Spooner was the most competitive of all of them.
Yeah.
And dude got knocked out in the first round. And it was funny, too, because after the whole thing was done, the tournament was done, there was a tournament of four. There were four players that just wanted to play against each other
completely necessary.
It was kind of weird because the whole thing was over.
I thought it was over, and I started saying to the mic that it was over, and Rich had to remind me that, oh, wait, there's more?
Fred gets on the mic, and when, you know, David Pastrnak's like holding up the trophy, Fred goes, thank you very much for coming out to Pucks and Pat. And I'm like, we got about 30 minutes left.
Yeah, that would be a logical conclusion to the proceedings.
Right. Although the giant check hadn't been brought out yet, the cartoonishly big check that's presented.
My bad. So, I thought when he was holding the trophy up and there was no check that maybe that would have been it.
maybe you're right.
I didn't memorize the events that were happening that evening.
It was all this, you know, first time for all of us doing this thing. But it was excellent. And if we have our way, and I know that the Bruins liked it, they're going to continue to do the Pucks and Paddles. And yesterday, thanks to the listeners, $110,000 raised, Cuts for a Cause and Pucks and Paddles together. Thanks to the Bruins and everyone who donated has raised over $1 million for the Tufts Floating Hospital for Children. And a lot of the kids were there. You got to see firsthand who it was helping. And that was obviously a nice touch to an already great evening. But you got to spend time yesterday. It was kind of funny. The whole event was starting. And the Michaela, the woman who was pretty much running it, it was great. Fred and I almost had to do nothing.
Yeah.
And she did a great job. Like, she was the host, and we just kept our hands off the mic for the most part. But she was like, all right, we're about to go on stage. Where's Fred? And I don't know where Fred is. And I'm looking all over. I can't find him. And finally, it was time to go on stage, and no Fred was there. And it was because he was doing this. And I knew he wasn't messing around. But he was backstage, and there was security like I've never seen before.
There was NHL security, which is not affiliated with the Bruins.
Right.
They just, I don't know why they were there, like what they thought was going to happen. And ultimately, Marchand got me back there, but...
I was having a beer next to Pasternak. Remember, I went back to go get beer,
yep.
And I was talking to him. We were just kind of hitting it off, and this dude with an earpiece just comes in and is like, nope, everybody out. I'm like, all right.
Well, that happened to my interview, is the... just told me to leave.
Well, let's get to Fred talk to Brad Marchand yesterday, who's always in a good mood. This is his favorite time. I mean, like, he's the star, him and Patrice, obviously, but he loves taking the mic and kind of taking over. And here is Fred backstage with Brad Marchand.
Brad Marchand, we were at Pucks and Paddles. You've usually been pretty good about making people shave their heads and pressuring them. Is there a bit of you that's died inside now that it's gone beyond that?
Yeah, you know what? I think we got to blame a lot of the young guys. I think this is almost solely changed because Pasternak wouldn't shave his head last year. We went really hard at him, and so I feel like I didn't do my job, and they changed the event because of it.
So have you blamed Pasternak today?
I am right now. That's what I'm doing. He'll hear more about it.
Okay, so you're going to take a mic today.
I guess I don't have a choice. That's what I do here, right? That's what I'm here for. So, yeah, I guess so.
All right, so today I found out for the first time because I quit Twitter because I hate everybody. but I found out today that you, like, clap back on people on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
So, say I go, like, hey, Marchand, you're a goon, you suck, whatever. Come back at me. Do it. Don't worry about my daughter. Do it. She's heard worse.
All right. The first place they look for missing people is in your belly.
All right. So, yes. Okay. Continue.
That's about all I got right now.
Because everything else is A+. You can't do that. So, all right. So, we talked to Riley Nash today, and he was talking about how on the ice, it's way worse because, obviously, like, you can't think it out and things like that. Are there certain players that you like to, like, get on that... Particularly, like, do you particularly like to get on?
Yeah, not so much anymore. I used to like to go after Plekanec. I didn't really like him a whole lot, but he's grown on me. I love him now, so...
What would you say to him?
Now?
No. In the time.
I can't even say it. There's so many choice words that I can't even go there. I'll get suspended just by saying it on the radio.
I'll bleep everything out, I swear to God. And you don't. And I'll even bleep out who it was.
I can't do it.
All right.
I can't give it away. You know, I still need that ammo. I can't give it away.
All right, so, they're heading, are you aware of NHL security is here?
Yeah, you know, they're all my best friends. I need them all the time.
You realize that this is, like, insane that they're here.
Oh, yeah, they're like my full-time bodyguards. But we're having so much fun.
All right, things have gotten very serious very quick.
All right, yes. I don't even know where we are anymore.
All right, I guess they're telling me to move over and allow you to leave.
All right, so time to go. It's been fun. See you again sometime.
Yeah, it was an absolute emergency that Marchand left at that exact moment. It was a big, like, there were people with their arms stretched. I was with my daughter,
because
she was following me everywhere, and there was a guy, like, there was, like, three people that had their arms outstretched and that, like, you know, so, you know, horizontally.
Yeah.
And they were just, like, pushing. Like what am I doing?
Yeah, that
I'm
was,
obviously interviewing someone.
Yeah, that was nuts.
Like I just like whoa, I snuck backstage so I could talk to Marchand.
And even the Bruins were laughing at the whole thing. Like it was aggressive even for they're like this is strange. Like Pasternak started laughing when that guy came in. Like all right, dude.
Yeah, I mean they were like it was incredible.
Right.
They were so overly aggressive, it was nuts.
Well, I guess that's their gig, but...
That's how I diffused everything. I went, oh, you're at... Because Jaffe has told me about them before. I've never experienced them, because they've never been at an event before. But the guy was like, oh... And I go, oh, you're NHL security. And he's like, yeah. And I go, okay, I understand. And I'm like, well, I'm hosting the event. And I'm like, if you get one of the guys, they'll vouch for me. And then he got Marchand, and I was allowed to speak to him for 2 minutes before they pushed me out.
By the way, Marchand's talked trash on Plekanec at one of our events before. Like, I mean, that's a go-to guy. And I know that they've obviously dropped gloves before.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I completely forgot about that.
Rich, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going? I was at the event yesterday, and it was awesome. Sorry about that. It was a great time. I just want to thank Rich again. He got tickets for me and my brother. He was saved by Boston Children's Floating when he was 4 years old. And, you know, he's in his mid-40s now. He wasn't expected to live into his teens. So it was a great time. It was his birthday last week. He had a blast. We had a blast. Met all you guys except for you, Fred. You didn't answer when we were saying, "Hey, Fred."
You got wall dicked by Fred.
Yeah, I wonder how that happened.
My brother got wall dicked by wall dick too. So, but you know,
I wonder how I didn't hear you.
He didn't hear him. He says or whatever. But you know, it's cool. But no, it was a great time, and I'm sure everybody had a blast there. You guys are the bomb.
Thank you, sir.
Go 98.5 and Bruins.
I'm glad your brother's doing well, man. That's awesome.
Well, Dick, well, yeah.
That final game was no joke, by the way, because David Krejci versus
Spooner.
I'm talking about the versus
Pastrnak. Yeah.
So they were playing the type of ping pong where you're standing like 10 feet away from the table,
putting all spins on it and stuff.
Each other.
Yeah, they kept moving people out of the way.
Yeah, that was no joke.
Here's it, and then NHL security came in and said, "Stop the event."
They said
everyone leave.
Hey, who won the whole thing?
Pasta.
Okay. As a matter of fact, I kept hearing that in my head the entire time.
Pasta.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
We'll get up around 10 a.m., eat a bowl of pasta.
Admit it. Toucher. It turns you on.
And Rich.
Every mother's dream.
Toucher and Rich.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
95, the Sports Hub.
Yo, 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 yo. Yo, 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 yo. Check. Tickety check, it brought the soul back to the home team. Motown, I can't just see my team is supreme. Diana, welcome to the solar system of the forces. You running in a circle, we just chewing on your orbit.
Forfeit, fork it over. Heimlich maneuver, me and my.
Like 98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Yesterday, pucks and paddles, a lot of money, millions of dollars.
Well, not millions, over a million so far. Yeah,
millions and millions of dollars.
Millions upon millions. So it will be
floating
soon.
Hospital for children at Tufts Medical Center. I'm very proud of myself. I did not. It's not the best thing to say on the radio, but I did not make an impulse purchase yesterday. I did not offer $3,000 to shave Ryan Spooner's head as I did last year. But Scott Zolak is on the phone. Rich, you wanted Scott on. Why is this?
Well, for a couple reasons. First of all, Scott, thanks for coming up to Pucks and Paddles.
Hey, it was awesome. It was awesome seeing all the kids. Made a lot of good friends, especially with my buddy Lucas here, playing a little ping pong with those guys. And just talking to some of the family, you know, Bobby Sweeney does a great job, the Bruins alumni, and the players are great. You know, we've always had Bergeron, and he's been always good. He's always been good to me, and of course, Krug each and every week, and it's just fun seeing those guys. Now I call Marshawn Ex-Lax because, you know, that nickname's kind of grown through this whole thing. But,
Why do you call him Ex-Lax?
Why is Ex-Lax? Why do you call him Ex-Lax?
You guys used to play the clip like, "Hey, what's up, Ex-Lax?"
Smooth with Ex-Lax. Rad Marchand, yes, of course,
yeah,
that's right.
Marchand, right?
Yeah, of course. By the way, I got home and I hadn't been on my phone for the entire time we were there, so I take a look through Twitter and apparently I missed a party because there's pictures of you and one Fred Toucher hanging out with the man, the legend Andy Wong from the Great Kowloon, and of course every picture retweeted by Sarge.
Of course, and I love seeing Sarge and Andy sort of in line with all the other people. Right. To meet everybody, and they had to stand like a 400-person line, and I'm like, you know that's Andy Wong there, right? Sarge's like, we're doing what we're supposed to do. Stay in line, we stay in line.
Well, I mean, it's got to be hard for Andy Wong not to, you know, not to be backstage.
Yeah, of course. Well,
I told him, too. I'm like, hey, man, don't you just, like, one night out without Sarge?
You can't get away from him.
Yeah, Sarge.
It's like, you know, the movie, remember in Cape Fear when De Niro was, like, underneath the car as it was driving away? That's Sarge with Andy Wong.
Well, Sarge, he's like, Fred. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, Andy Wong's here. Would you care to meet him? I'm like, sure. The guy that owns a restaurant?
It's the great Andy Wong.
It's not like Robert De Niro's here. Like, you know, hey, Barack Obama's here. Would you like to meet him? No, but Andy Wong, very nice.
Yeah,
I had to Instagram that out.
I have to ask you about this, though, because Nick Cattles, who works with Adam Jones, last night tweeted this out. He said, so Scott Zolak just said that Belichick will be around for a minimum of 3 more years. What do you know? What is that from?
I don't know anything, Rich. I just think, you know, I mean, just based on, you know, Brady's tenure is probably going to be 2 to 3 here. I know he said he wants to play until he's 45. The fact Josh is staying to get his kids a little more ingrained in the staff, why be one and done? I think, you know, the fact that, hey, I don't have to replace two new coordinators. Joe Judge is coming back. Scar turned 70 yesterday. Scar's coming back. But, you know, they're all sort of coming back. And if he get in it, win it again next year, I could see him doing it another year or two.
But then he would have to get an extension. And so you would think he would just be on a year-by-year basis?
Who, Belichick?
Yeah. Because it doesn't...
Well, we really don't know technically what the term of the contract is.
Yeah, I thought the consensus was that he had 2 more years.
That's about right. You know, that's 2 to 3 for me, you know? Everybody thinks it's one and done next year. I'm like, what indicators give that?
Okay. I didn't know if you knew something or so. I saw a tweet last night.
I assume that Josh is the man in waiting. That's why he stayed. There's not going to be another job out there for him.
Okay. No, he's trapped.
No, he said no. Well, by the way, would you give up, if you were a team, would you give up 2 number 1 picks for Nick Foles? Because that's apparently what the Eagles are asking for.
No.
This is a conversation.
My God. Well, listen, that's what they're asking for. Because
they don't want to get rid of him because they don't know if Wentz is going to be healthy and they want to...
No, oh, he'll be fine.
Foles is not a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Foles is a starting quarterback in the NFL.
He's not.
Look who's starting in the NFL.
Why I go back to, people say, well, it wasn't that bad a loss. It was a great game. This was a really bad loss. Doug Peterson was the head coach. Nick Foles is a starting quarterback. No disrespect to those two. But you're going down as to, you know, where you threw for over 505 yards in this game. You had over 613 yards offense, and you lost to that team. That's a bad loss.
You're going to knock Peterson, who all year long had that offense. I mean, they were on fire all year.
I'm not knocking him. I mean, you lost to the Giants. Giants have some freaking Hall of Famers on that team, you know?
Foles is an insult. No one in the NFL believes he's a starting quarterback. So the idea that there's a float, no one believes it.
He's 30 years old.
No one believes it.
And your problem is these teams are sort of set now, right? I mean, the Redskins traded for Alex Smith. Guess who's going to Denver? It's going to end up being Kirk Cousins.
So you don't think he'll go to the Jets? You don't think the Jets would try to go after him?
The Jets have more money.
Killed there, you know. I just don't know. I think that's the best you'll see of Nick Foles. You know, the situation's great around him.
Well, all I know is no one in the NFL thinks that he's a starting quarterback. So that's
there's my face on TV.
All right, well, Scott, thank you for coming out yesterday. Thank you for telling me that they have heavy-handed pores, and thank you for telling me. Did you really get a triple vodka?
No, God no.
Okay. Sure, yes, that's an on-air no.
Yeah.
It's not an off-air no, Fred.
All right,
and I left because security was just. Unreal.
Yeah, I thought they're going to break out the rubber gloves at any point. I mean, they really were. That's of any event we've done.
There was a bald guy with an earpiece.
Yeah, the Monopoly man.
Oh, he was in back. Yeah,
right.
I know that guy.
He pushed me back. He's like, "Hey, buddy, back up! I told you, back up! It's players only." I said, "I didn't realize we're hanging out with Tom Brady here."
No, it's players only. Everyone wants their hands on Heinen.
And he goes, "Hey, who are you, pal? Who are you?" You know, I go, "I'm the guy that's leaving. That's my indicator."
Take it off.
Well, thank you for coming.
Bert said, "Time to go."
All right. Well, thank you for coming.
Appreciate it.
For all the overtop security that was not needed there.
Hey, look, there's my face on TV.
Jeremy, hello, sir. Jeremy.
I think Jeremy's gone.
Jeremy.
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 Speak, Jeremy.
Jeremy.
Jeremy. Jeremy.
Oh, Jeremy. All right. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich.
I think 50's the cutoff. If you're over 50, it's about the stain. You're all about Springsteen. And if you're under 50, it's all about the Jam.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in the bad boy Theo Epstein type of generation where you like to play guitar backstage until your fingers bleed, which is nearly impossible. If you're doing that, you're playing the guitar.
If you don't know, the story is that Theo Epstein, after the Cubs won the World Series, just was so, he was just overwhelmed by the situation that just him and some buddies sat back in the clubhouse and he played guitar until literally his fingers bled. Which is, unless you're in a hardcore band and, downstroking like a maniac.
I don't even think that.
Harvey Flanagan, on your right hand, Harvey Flanagan from the Cro-Mags is always bleeding. I think he does it on purpose. The Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, if you're Dan Patrick, is awfully nice.
Because the Dan Patrick Show not only has a sign that says popsicles.
That is weird. Yeah. Ever since you pointed out like the sign in their man cave, one that says popsicles.
Because they asked him, like, what do you want to do? And he's like, man cave.
Dude's like, pinball. Look, you want pinball? We got it.
And so he's like, and then, you know, he like handpicked everything. Like, we need a sign. We need a sign that says popsicles. Dudes love frozen treats. Rock me a popsicle. But he is every, and I understand that he's, was at one time, I don't know if he is anymore, in bed with Sports Illustrated. And he illustrated this by having all the swimsuit issues, the cover of the swimsuit issues, because, I mean, who doesn't like a hot swimsuit issue in the era of the internet?
That's right.
I mean, there's nothing more appealing than a woman. Where else could I find any pictures of women in revealing clothing? I would need to go to the... to Sports Illustrated, but Sports Illustrated is doing the swimsuit issue, but this is the inspired by the Me Too movement, and that it was an all-female crew on some photo shoots, and I know Ali Raisman is in it, and there's like empowering messages on the women.
Oh, is that what those pictures are, the one where she's, she doesn't have any clothes on? Like, I mean, that's...
No, but she has empowering messages, and that's okay. All well and good, and congratulations to Sports Illustrated. But again, I will ask... Who do you guys subscribe to Sports Illustrated?
No.
See, I don't know
I think
how
I do, and I don't know. I was just going to say, I it comes to my house, but I don't know when I started to subscribe to it.
Since I was born and until now, I've gotten Sports Illustrated.
Sports Illustrated for kids. Well, that comes to the house, but not for me.
You know, my kids would be all over that reading.
I get
for pleasure.
What can I tell you?
And not having to be nailed down.
Yeah, my kids love reading for pleasure. There's nothing more than they like than to sit down with a good magazine.
Yep.
And start uncovering things.
I get ESPN the magazine. I don't know how.
I told them to stop sending it to me. Because I'm an insider, but ESPN Magazine is so bad.
Is that how I got it?
Oh, man.
That it's insulting.
Is it because I'm an insider? Okay. All right.
No, that's the thing. You need a machete to hack through that. That is just information on top of information.
It's terrible.
I mean, really, you get lost in there. That's dangerous.
But my question is why would anyone possibly want to get the swimsuit issue anymore? Like, what about that is remotely appealing? You know, there's pornography on the internet. Like, who cares? Like, you know, there's like someone slightly nude. Okay. You know, there's nudity all over the internet. Why is this still something that exists? And by the way, it comes out like you get like two in the mail. I haven't opened up a swimsuit issue since I was 12 years old.
Since Kathy Ireland was on the cover.
Yeah. I mean, I have a soft spot for Kathy Ireland. I have a, you know, that was a treat. Being a 12-year-old,
right,
pre-internet,
yep,
and you got the swimsuit issue.
Kids will never know how tough it was.
No, the Weather Channel, Vicki Lawrence Show.
Creative ways to use pennies in your cable box to make your channels get unscrambled.
I never got to do that.
Oh, I mean, that was you had to put a penny in the side of the button so it kept it halfway down. And
yes.
If you got it at just the right spot, you had all the free HBO that
you
could handle.
And then get a friend who had... No, let's...
Corey Everson.
You want to go to Keanu Tom? I'll go with you.
I mean, that was well into my
20s. Oh, hell yes.
That was when there was a
ESPN
dial-up internet.
ESPN 2, absolutely. I'm there.
Corey Everson. Sometimes I would get up too late for those shows, and I would just have to go Vicki Lawrence Show on the people.
Yeah. I get where you're coming from, but no.
Like, Mama's Family?
Like, yeah. If I got up at noon, Vicki Lawrence Show would be on, and that would be my entree into the day. I think I was in college, and I'd be home from college, and I would get up at noon, and that was what I did.
Now, what you needed was...
That was how I cleaned the pipes out. Golden Girls at one point.
Yeah, yeah.
I've told you that.
Yeah.
We're Blanche seduced a young college student.
This is pretty funny. Somebody just, because I remember this happening. Somebody said, I was 11 and I brought a Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue to school. I was sent home by the principals.
What?
Because they thought it was like an X-rated magazine.
How long ago was this?
I mean, he said 1986.
Well, okay. Then they should kick everyone off the beach.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I that actually happened at my school, but then again, my school. Oh my God, I've told you all about, you know, how backwoods where I grew up was, and how they, you know, have a store that sells like clan robes and stuff in the middle of the city. You know, just, and it's still there, which is amazing. But my wife reminded me of something. There was a restaurant there. I think you can Google it. It was called Aunt Fanny's Cabin. I completely forgot about this in the hick town of nowhere, Georgia, where I was raised when I was a kid. And there was a place called Aunt Fanny's Cabin that had, like, it was, the whole theme was slaves. It was like it's an old plantation, and the slaves are helping you out.
But you can't have the swimsuit issue.
No, but you can't have the swimsuit issue when you bring it to school.
Wait, so
this is one of those places that would raise the, like, waves the whole moral flag and stuff. But then you go to this place, and they would have, like, these underage kids working with these boards around their neck with the menu on it.
Oh my god!
I completely forgot about that. It's, I mean, dude, things were so backwards where I grew up, and that, I think that just shut down like 10 years ago.
Jeez.
Like, it was around, like, then there was a place called the 1848 House, which is like, oh, the good old days. Let's go to the plantation. When I mean, this was all around in the 2000s when it was.
So
there.
What's the appeal of the restaurant?
Oh, because it's just like Grandma used to tell us, where they were all subservient to the rest of us. Oh my
god!
Well,
gosh. That's a server. I mean,
Aunt Fanny's Cabin. Oh, you do not want to Google images. You do not want to Google images. I completely forgot about this place until Mary brought it up yesterday. I mean, first of all, they're breaking all sorts of, like, children labor laws.
Oh, boy.
And then, I mean, look, there was a, these kids would show up and they would have a board around their neck with the menu on it.
This existed 10 years ago.
I got to find out when it shut down. I know the 1848 house where you're like, go to an old-fashioned plantation when life was good. Back in 1848, like, that's the moment they wanted to lock in time, was the great times in 1848.
Which, of course, is, you know, everyone's nostalgic for before they were born.
Right. I mean,
like, you know what? I want to go to a place that existed 150 years ago because I'm so nostalgic for it. It's just like, you know, a place that has lunchboxes of happy days.
Right. Every time anyone asks me,
I harken back to an era that is five generations before mine.
Every time anyone asks me, like, are these stories that you're telling about, like, you know, this town, this hick town you grew up in, are they true? I just say, just use Google. And everything's proven true right there. It's all there. But, oh, Aunt Fanny's. Aunt Fanny's Cabin, I think it was, like, till about 10 years ago, it was up and running. And I would not want to Google photos. That was just a bad idea all around that seemed okay until about 10 years ago.
I don't get the nostalgia for something that you've never experienced.
Well,
but
I would say that. Or something that was just, like, inherently evil.
Right. But, I mean, it's
good
not,
times,
it's not even something that, like, I mean, you say that, you know, people wanted to see, like, back when times were good. Well, what the hell do you know about back when times were good?
Or back the way they wish it still was.
That probably makes more sense. These terrible times that we live in. I wish it was good. Then you know what? You die at 35.
You have died of dysentery.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
So don't go to the doctor.
Right.
You want to be? You want to live that? You want to live in that time? Good. Your life expectancy is 35.
Apparently the kids,
and here's a good leeching.
Apparently the kids would all come out and sing about how the South would rise again. That's what they would do.
All right, now's where I ask you, how the hell did you get out of there?
Because
thinking somewhat normally.
Well, because it became a suburb. I mean, it became.
Dude, this was 10 years ago.
I know, but that's a very.
And by the way, Jaylen Brown grew up right there, too. Like, Jaylen Brown and I went to, our high schools used to play each other. And so, you know, I mean, this isn't like an area that's, like, all predominantly white.
Right.
I mean, it's very mixed. There's races. It's basically just black and white. And this was still around. It was mind-blowing when you take a look at how something like that. So if you wonder sometimes why things are skewed in the universe, and you see people on Twitter saying certain things that make you scratch your head, like, oh, that guy can't really exist in real life. What, long ago? And I mean, like, within the last 10 years, that stuff was acceptable in certain parts of the
country.
And
I'm sure the food was wonderful. I'm sure that they really, really had the top chefs.
Yeah, that was the selling point.
Right, nobody's spitting your food.
Right.
Sure.
I'm sure that that it was, you know, people were going there for the food. I don't know where else I can get mashed potatoes. This is an exciting time to be alive. Well, that's odd. That is certainly odd.
She brought it up last night, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, every time I think that I remembered how weird it was growing up, my wife brings up something else that makes me believe that it was all a dream. Like, there's no way, and that nobody even blinked an eye. It was just normalcy.
All right, well, when we come back, you can see, we'll have tickets to see Felger's Get Loose band. The Jam, Pearl Jam, we'll have those tickets for you.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich join Mike Felger and his friend as they remove their shirts and wave them above their head. Someone told me that, I don't know if it's true. Calling number 10 right now. To the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-0985.
will score a pair of tickets to night one of Pearl Jam at Fenway Park. Sunday, September 2nd. Tickets to both nights go on sale at 10 a.m. Wednesday, February 21st at RedSox.com/Pearl Jam.
We're all allowed to be nerds about one band. Is that his band? Or is it I thought the Dead was his band. I thought that's what he was into.
I think it's both.
You're only allowed to be over the top nerd about one band. Well, one band and one team.
I would imagine when they reached the age of 80 and started selling neckties and the noodling and tuning of guitars live on stage loses some of its luster. You know, Pearl Jam are kind of like it's an evolution from the Grateful Dead. Not in their music, but in the way that they are followed. It is something like that. Two things is they have to pull that promo of Maserati and Murray talking about the sex of the home run. And especially those guys are jacked. And then also this cool sculpting thing I do is nice. I can't endorse it enough. It's fantastic. But the copy they gave me to read said, "Hey, it's Fred Toucher. You know I don't care what I look like." This is like, "Hey, I'm Fred Toucher. I'm a big, fat piece of garbage." And I'm so, like, I just am so beaten down by everyone just constantly insulting me that I just read it. I just said, "Here, why fight it?" So the whole, apparently the whole point of me doing this campaign is that they looked at me and they said, "Who's the biggest piece of garbage on the stage? Let's throw him into this thing." And again, it's a fantastic procedure.
Get him to agree that, yes, I look ugly.
Listen, it's a fantastic procedure. I can't recommend it enough. The doctor was excellent. I love everyone there.
Who is the sales guy who wrote the copy? Because that's someone here at the station who knows you.
Either the one that used to be fat and now is thin or Callan.
Okay, well, at least there's someone with history with you who knows you can bust your balls and like.
No intention of busting balls.
It was just like, okay.
No, he sat down and read copy that he just believed was true.
He said,
there was no inside joke on that.
That's the sell job.
They said, "Hey, like, who has the most to gain from this procedure?" And they looked at me. And then they don't even beat around the bush. Yeah. It says, "Hey, this is Fred, and you know I don't care what I look like."
Yeah, that wasn't a throwaway line. That was something he looked at and went, "Yeah, no, that's it, Fred.
You don't screw with clients."
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is not a joke. You don't joke around with clients.
Sure.
You write ad copy that you believe that they're going to like, and they're in turn going to pay for it. So the way he wanted to catch their ear was to announce to everyone what a piece of garbage I am. And I'm not kidding.
Well, there's like 15 other ways you can phrase that.
I'm rarely insulted. I rarely feel insult. I like about my appearance. I mean, Marshan did it. I know where he's going. I got this gut on me. I look like a potato with sticks in it. I understand all of this. I understand. I deserve your scorn and hate. That's fine. But that actually hurt my feelings. that one was like big fat Sarge who lost all that weight with whatever the hell diet he's on. Like, they didn't go, "Hey, I'm Sergeant, I'm a piece of garbage." Like, when I got the hair transplant, they didn't ask me to go, "Hey, I'm Fred, I'm a big piece of crap.
Hey, this is Sarge. You know how creepy I look when I stare in the camera when I'm on Comcast?"
Like, he's a truly ugly person. And he gets away with it? I'm much better looking than him. Like, Sarge is ugly. And so he escapes. First of all, he was flat out bald. Like, I had at least a chance.
You're screaming in pain like mine.
Look at this picture, man.
Is that him with Nora?
That is Nora. Nora. I saw Nora yesterday.
Nora very briefly yesterday.
Yes.
But my Lord. I mean, like, why me? That was the first thing that was a bit of a body blow. I'm not lying to you. That one hurt my feelings a little bit.
Hey, he's not married to a Mariska Hargitay looking person, right?
I could get laid if I want to because I'm on the radio, but I'm not concerned about what women feel about me. This one, their whole campaign is what a piece of garbage I am.
And you didn't go to them and just go, "Hey,
no,
can we change this line?"
Why? Why? Obviously, this is the way everyone feels about me.
No, he wasn't feeling. He just admitted it. He said he wasn't feeling very good about himself, so he read it.
No, because what's the difference? Obviously, this is the way everyone views me.
Hey, this is Fred, and you know, I'd like to lose a few pounds, or at least have the appearance of it. That's what you could say.
What it does is it freezes the fat, and then the fat cells will not grow back.
Okay, well, that's great. You know,
it's a procedure that I'm glad I had.
It's great.
A procedure I'm glad I had. No, because I'm making a point here. It's a procedure that it's right for me. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't work for you because you don't need it. I understand all that. But can we wrap it in a little bit of a bow? Do we have to just flat out say? And then why would it be I don't care what I look like when I obviously do because I had the procedure? Like, hey, I had this procedure to lose fat in my face and wherever else I want to lose fat. And so obviously I would care. I cared enough to sit there and do it. I had air transplant. Obviously, there's a part of me, anything that requires sitting and someone else doing all the work, I'm all for.
Without any kind of activity or physical exertion.
Yeah, I don't want any of these diets or anything where you have to try. But anything that you can sit and they can prove your appearance based on sitting and having other people do it all for you, I want it. Hey, listen, if you have a back waxing place, and you went in, that's not far from my house.
Sure.
We let's dance.
Someone said, Fred, we like you just where you are. # it's what's inside that matters.
Yeah, there you go. That's basically what they should say. Yeah. Like he's a really nice. Hey, it's Fred, I'm really nice. Hey, it's Fred, and you know I'm disgusting. All right. Well, that one, I just heard the commercial, and I told everyone what they had me say, and everyone just was like, wow. That one was a bit of a bite in the bullet a little bit. That one was a little below the belt.